I am Plateau of the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. Another play at the Push Festival this week is Seeds, staged by Montreal's Port Perrault. The show from the playwright Annabelle Souter will be playing at the Frederick Wood Theatre at UBC January 22nd through to the 26th. The show is described as a docu-theatre work. Every word spoken is taken verbatim from court transcripts or interviews surrounding the Saskatchewan farmer who goes to war with the agricultural company Monsanto. You'll recall in the 1990s the story of Percy Schmeisser, who was accused of illegally growing Monsanto's patented genetically modified canola. Seeds director Chris Abraham joins me now. I'll ask him about this production, the ingenious way it's staged using multimedia elements, as well as its performers, chiefly Eric Peterson in the role of Schmeisser. The notices for the show, when it's run in Montreal and Toronto, have been quite good. Frequently lauded are the production values, performances, and the way the fierce legal battle between a farmer and a multinational is depicted, honestly, to the point where audience conceptions are challenged going into the theater and throughout this play, and certainly once it's over. Chris Abraham is the artistic director of the Crows Theater Company in Toronto. He is an award-winning theater and film director and was a recipient of the Siminovich Prize, Canada's richest performing arts prize. He received the Protégé Award 12 years ago as well. Visit pushfestival.ca for tickets and information and crowstheater.com. Please welcome to the Plot of the Line program Chris Abraham. Mr. Abraham, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
You're in Toronto this morning, is that correct?
I'm actually in Calgary. We're putting up a show here before we bring it to Vancouver.
So it's never played Vancouver before, is that right?
That's correct.
Yeah, and so Calgary, Montreal, Toronto, that's where it's played so far? Has it played anywhere else?
Toronto, Montreal, no. I think you've got the list right, and then we're heading to Ottawa in spring.
I see. How long has it been since you've been associated with the production?
I think this is my third year. I began working on the show, actually maybe it's even 4 years ago, that Annabelle Souter, who's the writer for the piece, sent me a draft of the play and asked if I'd consider directing a workshop of a new version. And because the play had had a life in the early 2000s with Port Perrault in a version that premiered in Montreal that I wasn't involved with. And Annabelle, I think, has felt that there were a couple of things sort of that were unresolved for her in her treatment of the subject that she wanted to address in a new production. And I was very intrigued by this ambition of hers and was immediately engaged by the play that I read and sort of hopped on for the ride.
Well, what did you bring to the production that wasn't there before, say?
Well, I mean, I think everything that the production is really a product of first a kind of a conversation between myself and the playwright, which was very tight-knit and sort of, you know, the concepts for the production developed primarily through conversations with her, then the designers, and then the company of actors. The great privilege that we had was that we were able to develop the production over a series of about 8 weeks of workshops with actors and designers. And the text of the play, as well as all of the design elements, kind of developed alongside each other and influenced each other.
And so how much time do you spend with a playwright in terms of conceiving the staging of it now?
Well, at this stage of the process, yeah.
In terms of this latest production,
I think we spent about a year,
yeah.
Kind of in conversation, long distance between Toronto and Montreal, and then over a series, as I said, of 8 weeks of workshopping, that conversation evolved and got refined over that time.
And then how long into the process, because I understand that your wife plays her in this play, is that correct?
Yeah, that's right.
And so how much time does she spend, say, with the playwright?
Well, I mean, we've actually become really good friends. We have one daughter, and Annabelle and Alex, who's the playwright's husband, is also in the show.
Oh, I see.
And And we become good friends, and our daughters have become good friends, and so we've gotten to know them quite well. But I think the portrait of the artist in the play is certainly a version of the playwright, and that influenced my wife's portrayal. But I think our work has really been to try to understand the playwright as the force which navigates a set of questions on behalf of the audience. So I think the playwright that we meet on stage is really a kind of, has, you know, some of the DNA of the real playwright, some of the DNA of my wife, and then also just represents the kind of protagonist in the play.
And for Eric Peterson, who some of us might recall from Corner Gas, he plays Percy Schmeisser in the production that'll be at the Freddie Wood this week. What did he do in terms of bringing that character to life? I mean, does he watch a lot of, say, the film on Schmeisser? Does he talk to him himself? Or?
Well, you know, Eric's from Saskatchewan, so I think he knows that part of the world, and he comes from a family that had been involved in farming, and sort of grew up in that community, and also has become, you know, has always been, but has continued to be very politically active in causes that he supports. And so I think that, you know, Eric's own sense of justice really deeply informs his portrayal of Percy. He did watch some of the videos going into it, but his performance is not an impersonation of Schmeisser. It's really a kind of an attempt to understand his essence and the causes that he's fighting for and the place that he's from. And so I think there's a lot of Eric in Eric's Percy. But, you know, while Eric doesn't sound the same as Percy Schmeisser, you know, I think audiences that know Percy we'll definitely see a lot of him in Eric's performance.
So when we go to the Freddie Wood on any time between the 22nd and the 26th to see Seeds, what can people expect? I mean, it's more than a play. There are some multimedia elements to it. Is there a participatory aspect to the show?
There is. You know, the way that we define the real subject of the play is life and our relationship to it. Life on a kind of cellular level, but also the life in the room. So we try to engage the life in the room as much as we can in a kind of deep questioning of what it is to be living in the times that we live in, and to have a kind of, very quickly changing relationship to nature and through technology. So we try to talk to the audience about that as part of the play. I think the audience can expect, first of all, a really entertaining experience. It is the subject matter is, we take it head on. We deal with the GMO debate, the question of whether it's right to own life forms or not and to have patents on them. We deal with the science around genetically modified foods. But all of the kind of the weightier themes of the play are kind of, laid out in such a way that it's really kind of structured like a bit of a thriller. So, I think it's a very fun ride, and I think that, you know, our hope is that the audience walks away surprised at how much they actually grasp of the complexities around the issue. And having had an experience of a kind of a really important issue for our society as a group, and having had their assumptions about their point of view challenged one way or the other.
Yeah, I was. I remember hearing this story in the late 1990s. I was going to school at the time, and in the news and the sort, it was framed as this David and Goliath story. And what struck me in reading reviews of the production was how it's more than that. It's a lot more nuanced than that. And even though when you hear the words David and Goliath, you think you're going to go into the theater rooting for Schmeisser. A lot of people leaving the show, having seen it, don't necessarily think that, or it's a lot more complicated than that.
I think that's true. I think the kind of the latter description is accurate. I mean, personally, I would say that there's a component of the David versus Goliath myth that is intact in our production, simply because he's an individual that is taking on a kind of a very large corporation. But I think what we do challenge in the play is, I guess, our preconceptions around purity and the pure hero. I'd say that that's sort of like what Annabelle, I think, had to contend with in her investigation of the material is, you know, discovering evidence, which some of which is simply, I'd call it hearsay evidence, which challenges the sanitized version of the David and Goliath story. And I think that adds the narrative, that adds a kind of a complexity and interest and depth to the narrative, and also invites us to think about, accepting that our heroes, can be complex, burnished, and mysterious.
And you guys didn't go into this with, and certainly Annabelle didn't go into this with an agenda in terms of...
No.
Or even whatever she felt or what you felt. I mean, that's not in here, right?
No, her agenda is really to try to get to the bottom of a story. But I think she was drawn to the story probably for the same reason that, when you saw that David and Goliath kind of story circulating in media, I think she wondered whether... the story was all that, or whether there was something else going on, and certainly she found that. So I guess you could call that a kind of, she began her investigation with a thesis, which is that the story's got to be more complex than the story she was receiving through some media sources.
And have you talked to audiences who have seen the show and who have had their minds changed, say, on the issue of GMOs and the sort?
Yep, for sure. But I would say that the thing that means the most to me personally is that, as we've taken the play to different cities across the country and continue to do so, it's great to be amongst an audience of fellow Canadians that... kind of are able to understand a little bit more of who we are via this story, and that this case, which went all the way to the Supreme Court, had very significant consequences for the kind of the path of the proliferation of genetically modified foods around the world. And while I think many individuals have some think that they've heard of this guy, Percy Schmeisser, the farmer in Saskatchewan, many of them don't know the details of the story and seem, at the end of it, very grateful to have had the opportunity to dig into what was a kind of a seminal event in our history over the past 20 years.
Now, you haven't taken this to Saskatchewan at all, right?
No, we'd like to, but it's just legit. It's actually a pretty big show, and there's some movement in that direction. So we're certainly hoping to make that a reality in the next couple of years.
Have you found a difference in the types of audiences that'll watch this show? I mean, you're coming to Vancouver in the next few days. Do you expect a different reaction, say, from Vancouver audiences than you would, say, in Toronto or in Calgary?
A little bit, although audiences can sometimes surprise you, but I would say that when we did the play in Montreal, particularly when we did the play in French in Montreal, I would say the composition of the audience was much more a kind of had preconceptions aligned with the anti-GM movement. and we're able to see in the play a kind of an argument for why the spread of genetically modified food should be stopped. But interestingly, you know, when we've had most of the characters that are in the play have been to see it, and I think they all feel, you know, kind of pretty fairly represented and believe that their points of view have a place in the show. And so, I mean, I guess the cliche is sometimes we'll have, you know, a kind of a more, let's say, a business-friendly audience in attendance, and I think that they, at the very least, feel that the debate is structured in a kind of a equitable way, and appreciate the opportunity to examine the conflict. So I, you know, a little bit this play is in the eye of the beholder. I think you can sort of see what you want to see in the play, and I and that's deliberate on the part of the playwright. Her agenda has really been to try to bring to the table a multiplicity of perspectives on this issue by putting in the play characters that have a multiplicity of perspectives.
I mentioned in the introduction that you got the Siminovich Prize this past fall.
Yeah.
You're one of the bright stars in the theater firmament in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
Do you come out here very often in Vancouver and see the theater that's being played here?
Yeah, in fact, I just worked with James Long and Marcus Youssef.
Oh, yeah.
We did a show that was in Vancouver last year called Winners and Losers, which we just brought to Toronto. So I know those guys really well, and I've been out to Vancouver for a number of festivals this time of the year, and have really watched with great fascination and appreciation for the, you know, what the community has developed over the past 15 years or so. And I love Vancouver, and I'm looking forward to being there this year at PUSH and seeing what else is on offer.
Now, is there something unique to say Vancouver theater as opposed to that in Toronto, or is it generally, do you find that it's Canadian theater as opposed to say unique to each city in the country?
Well, I think my view is probably pretty narrow in that, you know, I haven't spent a lot of time in Vancouver, and it's probably a much more diverse ecology than I'm aware of. But the small, I guess, subculture that I do have some familiarity with is with the kind of community of independent companies. You know, what I see from the group that has, you know, been a part of creating the Performance Lab and, you know, theater, New World Theater, Theater Replacement, The Electro Company, Theater Conspiracy, is an ecosystem of smaller independent companies that have depended on each other and have worked together probably much more than companies do in Eastern Canada. That maybe this has to do with kind of available resources in Vancouver, that kind of degree of collaboration and partnership and working together was a necessity as the community was developing. But what I see when I come to Vancouver is a group of independent artists where the boundaries between companies are more porous, and I admire that.
So this is a good time to be in the theater, isn't it?
I think so. You know, I think that as I spend more time in it, the some of what I used to think were cliches about the live experience and the power of the live experience have started to materialize for me in a real way. Like, I do think that there is something about being in the room with a large group of people, you know, or a small group of people, being told a story by other live human beings, that changes the way that we process story and in information, and affects us in a different way than even seeing a movie in a public context. And that, you know, I guess in my life, I'm constantly bombarded with stories and information through different media sources that kind of don't settle in me in the way that theater experiences do. And I guess I've started to kind of believe that that's something special about what we do in the theater, is the way in which the kind of impact that we can make when it's good is just sort of lives in people differently than stories that we consume on screens.
Seeds sounds like a fascinating show, Chris. It's been a pleasure talking to you today. Break a leg, as I say, all good wishes.
Thanks so much, and I hope to see you out at the show next week.
Well, thanks very much. The show is called Seeds. It's at the Freddie Wood Theatre, January 22nd to the 26th. Visit pushfestival.ca for information and tickets for that. Chris Abraham joined me on the line from Calgary. In Vancouver, I'm Joseph Plunton.